Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Other words, he didn't give up. He wasn't a quitter. He is called to do a job. He did it. He prepared for it. Listen, God never has used any man on earth that didn't have enough character to prepare for the job. He won't use you. And Paul said, now, we have received mercy. We faint not. Now, I said, but have renounced. What's that, Paul? I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Didn't put over by trickery. Didn't go around a lot of tricks up my sleeve. Not that kind of stuff. Not handing the word of God deceitfully. I didn't use the word of God in a way to deceive people. Now that's what they're doing today. All over this country. He preaches the word. How's he use it? One thing to preach it, how's he use it? Use it deceitfully. Paul said, I didn't do that. But by manifestation of his truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I stood up and preached to you. And I commend myself to your conscience in the sight of a holy God. Didn't look at the deacons, see what they thought about it, unless they were good men. Didn't look around and see what the big banker in town thought about it, unless he was a spiritual man. I was conscious all the time that God saw me. I was in his sight, doing his work while he looked on. That's what he's talking about. All right. Now here's the point. But if the gospel be here, if you haven't seen it, if you don't know it, it is hid to them that are lost. What? What? Yeah. Yeah, these modernists are going to hell. They're lost, Paul said. That's scary. That's a man who doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a lost man. A school that says it isn't necessary to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is not a Christian school. A modernist may be nice, may be likable. I said so many times, a horse can be gentle. A dog can be affectionate. Oh, yes, nice traits about them. They may be naturally nicer than some of us old-time Orthodox fellows. But they're not naturally saved. They're lost. If they can't see that which is spiritual, they themselves are not spiritual. That's all to the Bible. They that know God hear us. If you have it, you recognize it when you hear it or see it. Well, what's the matter with them, Paul? What's the matter with these fellows? In whom the God of the world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. The God of the world? Who is he? Who are you talking about? Yeah, the world has a God. And next to God, he's the most powerful personality in all the universe. He's Satan. He's the devil. Young people, about 50 years ago when I was a young fella, a little book fell into my hands, written by Philip Morrow, the lawyer, who was a converted materialist, on the subject, the world and its God. I read that little book. It was so revolutionary in my life and my training. I went out and went to talking about it, and some folks said, he's crazy. God's the God of the world. No, he isn't. Devil's the God of the world. Wait a minute. The earth is the Lord's. The devil doesn't own the earth. He never owned a tree in a forest. He never painted, I've said so many times, a rose. But the world, in a Bible sense, is a system of government. The world, human system, is a devil system, and he's a god of it. Now, don't let your mind ramble now and wander back, because I want you to see this, and I won't tell you what your duty is as a Christian. All right. Now, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. There appears one day in the person of a serpent, a form of serpent, not the crawling kind now, but the most subtle creature God ever made. The devil made his appearance. And he asked them if God had spoken. And they said he had. And he told them that that wasn't true. Now, there isn't one word said about his morality. The devil didn't come into the garden there and say, "Now listen, you ought to cut your wife's throat." He didn't say, "You ought to quit your husband." He came in there and said, "You ought to be somebody. And you don't have to be held down. You can be somebody." Now, wait a minute. That sounds awfully nice, doesn't it? Why, the devil, you've got the wrong idea of the devil. Now, there are demons in the universe that are perverted and crooked and all that. But the devil and the folks that fell with him, they're not like that. There have been some strange demons that got out of that realm. You know, the devil's not in absolute control even of his domain. There's no ruler that's in absolute control of the empire where he rules. But there's nothing in the Bible that ever said the devil wanted anybody to get drunk, steal, or lie. He said, "I would like to be worshipped. I just have a right to this thing here. It's been given to me. I'm in charge of this domain. And I'd like to take it over completely. And I seek to be worshipped." And he set out. Now get this, young people. Don't let this shock you. He set out to build the best world he possibly could build, with God Almighty left out of it. God would send the sunshine and the springtime and the harvest, but he'd run it. And anything that God doesn't run goes on the rocks. However sincere and honest the fellow may be that's trying to run. So he set out. Now the Bible's clear. To take over this world and set up a world system. Now, the fact that empires have come up and gone down, and the flags that waved in the breezes when armies marched no longer wave, that fact shows that not the devil's so mean as it shows he's a failure. He can't deliver. Now, we read to Christian people, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." What? Love not the world, neither the things that's in the system. What a world. Ancient Greece, swinging gardens in Babylon, works of art, silver and gold, things. You can worship books. I don't think some of you are in much danger of doing that. I rather hesitate to say that. But it's possible. World within world. I got down that little book on the worldness God day or two ago and read the worlds that he mentioned. Some of them I'd forgotten. World of sport. World of literature. World of art, world of music, world of speech. Now, wait a minute. The devil's not the author of those things. He harnessed those things to his purpose. World, world, world. Now, he is the God of the world. Listen, he's no enemy to religion. He has religion over in China. And it isn't all bad. Some good things in all those religious systems, but not something that saves. The ancient philosophers didn't have everything bad about them. They were great men and great thinkers in Greece. Oh, ancient Greece. Art. Architecture. Philosophers. We get our word academy from that Garden of Academus, where the philosophers used to go out there and walk around and talk things over. And when you say academy, you bring your word out of ancient Greece. It's now in crumble ruins. Religion. Why, the devil wants to run religion. He hasn't got anything against the church if you let him run it. Modernism is of the devil. Modernism is built on the idea of paradise lost, the philosophy they erected. Man marches on to victory, and someday he'll bring it out a perfect world and a perfect system. And a perfect man. But he never has. I listened to our president the other night. The radio, television. I sat there with ears wide open. In the midst of it, he said something about, we are not going to fail. Well, he may die before failure comes, but all the rest of them fail. When America does something, America usually does it pretty quickly. Why, you take today in America, you are building a religious dictatorship that's of the devil. Now, I don't mean that everything in it is just like he wants it. But he's a dominant force in all compromised religious systems. He dominates. If you go back home and your church has a modernistic pastor, and you go to that church and listen to him preach, he doesn't believe in the virgin birth, the blood atonement, the inspiration of the Bible, all that sort of business. And you support him. You are supporting a religious system that the devil's built in your church. He did. Why, you know he's just about left all the blood of the Son of God out of modern hymns. We sing about great God. You don't have many more hymns now about the Word of God. They used to write about that. The old timers, there is a fountain filled with blood. He's taking it over. He's operated faster in America in the last 20 years than in all the history of this nation.
Please turn the cassette over for the conclusion of this message.
Say, it makes no difference now. What do you say, baby? Love not the world, need things of the world, all's in the world system. All of it, built upon lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. He said it's not of God. This world system is not of God. Now, all down the ages, God's had his people. Abraham believed God and sired a race. Noah, when the world was filled with sin and crumbling to pieces, and God was gathering the clouds of his wrath to destroy it, Noah preached righteousness. Now, Noah was in the world, but he didn't belong to the system. He built an ark. Yes, he bought material. He set out the table. He ate. That's scripture. Yeah, that's scripture. What do you say about it? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. It's all right to pay taxes. Be a good citizen. But don't you think God Almighty is running the United States of America, the British Empire, communistic Russia, and pagan China, Japan and Korea? Don't go around and be mistaken about it. Remember, that's not in the Bible. There isn't one word in the Bible that ever shows that God Almighty is running the world system. Now wait. He intervenes in this system. When a time comes where he's got to take care of his own children who are away from home, he'll intervene and move empires out of his way if needs be. God takes care of his own. He'll let a sinner breathe his air, make a crop. But God Almighty takes care of his own. And if you are God's child, true to God, faithful to God, in order to get a plane ticket, he'll get it for you. Doesn't mean that he runs airlines. Doesn't mean he runs the railroad trains. May not even run the hotel where you stay. But you're in it, but not of it. But now God Almighty will intervene to take care of his own. But the system is of the devil. It's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away. The devil can't deliver the goods. He told Adam and Eve to become like God. And then God had to tell them how they could be saved. Devil's a failure. If you take the temptations of Adam and Eve now and read carefully, the things that devil told them to do independent of God, man has never been able to do. The devil simply cannot, in this universe, run a world system and succeed. And no world system ever has succeeded because no world system has ever been planned. Now the hour struck in this nation where you young people have got to make up your mind to look to God for help and be true to God and do what God said do, and you'll be a good citizen. You'll pay your taxes. You'll probably be a nice man and a good neighbor and all those things you go along. But don't you try to wipe out the line, and don't you be a part of it. Don't try to mix up the devil and God in your thinking. Let's get this clear. God's no failure. God Almighty demonstrated when he said to the devil, you can tempt Job. God demonstrated at that time that he can build a man that can stand in it and you ought to stand. The devil can't do it. Hitler couldn't take it. He went down. Napoleon Bonaparte couldn't. He went down. Mussolini couldn't take it. He went down. Empires couldn't stand it. They went down. But God Almighty could take a girl back in Rome and save her. And then she'd go out and let the beast eat her. And nobody in this universe except you, if you're a Christian, will be able to stand. I read in the Bible, though the earth be removed under my feet, I'll fear no evil. Don't let the God of this world blind your eyes. And if you are saved, remember, you see because you have spiritual eyes. And these modernists can't see because the God of the world's blinded them. To show you the difference between the old days and this days, I clipped some of the paper recently. About 50 years ago, there's a world conference held on Christian fundamentals in the city of Philadelphia. The following resolutions were introduced and passed. Now here are the resolutions. We note with interest the determined endeavor to force the various evangelical denominations into a federation in which the fundamentals of the faith will play little or no conspicuous part. That began to show up in America about 50 years ago. It succeeded recently in New York, where they added 1,300 churches after the great revival, supposed to be, was sponsored by folks that believed the Bible and folks that didn't believe. They wound up in New York with 3,000 in the Federal Council of Churches, or the Protestant Council in New York. Added 1,300 to it. Now, these people back there were talking about 50 years ago. They said there's a determined endeavor to force the various evangelical denominations into a federation in which the fundamentals of the faith will play little or no conspicuous part. Now notice, we believe that the accomplishments of such a religious corporation at the cost of truth would provide a flashing spectacle of apparent church success to be speedily succeeded by the most colossal failure that's ever characterized Christianity since the dark days, when the ecclesiastical corporation controlled the religious things of the world. Wise men are talking there. They saw it back there. We voice our determined protest, and as members of the various evangelical denominations, hereby declare our utter unwillingness to enter into any such federation movement. We will not be a party to it. In the event of its formal adoption by our respective denominations, if its fixed determination to find for ourselves a new fellowship, we'll get out before we'll be a party to it. One in which the Bible will form fellowship, one in which the Bible will be authoritative, the deity of Christ undisputed, and the faith once for all delivered the basis of our confession and our conduct. You know who signed that? I'll read you the names. W.H. Griffiths Thomas, chairman of the Resolution Committee. I knew him. Up from Canada originally. One of the most intellectual and one of the greatest Bible conference preachers this country ever produced. He was chairman of the committee. William B. Riley, one of the great men of all time. Dr. James M. Gray of the Moody Bible Institute. James M. Gray of the Moody Bible Institute was, to my mind, one of the greatest men I've ever known in this world. He was a statesman, a soul winner. He's uncompromising. Here's another one. Charles A. Blanchard. He was a great man. He never sold out. He stood the test, and they mocked him and slandered him. I remember how they slandered him. Called him a crank, fanatic. If he was president of a school in America now, that school wouldn't be throwing up its hat in the air and hollering for a modernistic sellout. Charles G. Trumbull, editor of the Sunday School Times. Oh, how that name rings out as a witness. William L. Pettengill, one of the great Bible teachers. L. W. Munhold, one of the dearest friends I ever had, that gave a lecture on the Book of Books and wrote books on the authority of the Bible. He's a Methodist preacher. They offered to turn over to him one of the most wonderful opportunities, humanly speaking, anybody ever had. He said, nothing doing. I'd have to compromise. Now, 50 years ago, they wouldn't do what they're doing now. 50 years ago. They couldn't have added 1,300 churches to the Protestant Council in New York after revival. For there was no evangelist on this continent would have worked under such a sponsorship. They couldn't have had a Bible conference with that kind of sponsorship because they couldn't have found a great Bible preacher in Europe or America. That's my day to which I belong. I sat at the feet of those men when I was young. Bob Jones University was founded to maintain such standards without surrender. Now, you've been well taught and well warned, and you know what's what. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be mean. You can be sweet, but firm. You don't have to fall in love with the devil's system and God crowd out of it. I'm in love with my people. My people are God's people. Whether they're white, black, brown, yellow, rich, poor, educated, all the born-again, uncompromising, Bible-believing saints of the world, they are my crowd. The modernists, let the devil have them. And you're not going to win them by compromising with them. If you compromise with them, they'll take over your weaklings and build a machine and swallow them up like they've done in New York and are doing around the world. Now, you get your Bible, read the first epistle of John, where it tells you not to love the world. Don't you be a worldly Christian. He said, be not conformed. Be transformed. Use the world. Don't abuse it. You live in it. But if you lived in Japan and you're an American citizen, you're an American citizen. You don't give up your allegiance to your country in a foreign land. If you're here in Japan, you don't give up your allegiance to your country. You're in another country. You mingle with the people. Keep your allegiance to Jesus Christ in a world that you don't even love. And be faithful and do your duty. God help us to do it. And keep this